I would get stopped. So it was like we would be walking on the street and people would be like, oh my God, where did you get those dresses? Or, you know, and I'd be like, wait, oh, maybe there's something to this. And that's when the light bulb went off. Like, could I make a business out of this? I wasn't really willing to compromise my work-life balance and going back to corporate, and had a little feedback from people just kind of throughout the day on the things that I was creating for my kids. And so that's when I thought, like, maybe there's a business here.
Hi, everyone. Melissa Gonzalez here with another episode of Retail Refined, a Market Scale podcast. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to my guest, Stacey Fraser, who is the founder and CEO of Pink Chicken. She has always had a passion for printed textiles, and her earliest inspiration came as a young girl twirling around in her grandmother's boutique, mesmerized by fabrics that are vintage and the stories that those vintage fabrics carried. I've been a fan of the brand and so excited to have this conversation. She's going to talk to us a little bit about how she has married her childhood experiences with her corporate experience, having nearly 15 years shaping sometimes kids within some of the major brands that we've all heard about. So Gap Kids at Gap, working at Tommy Hilfiger, working at Old Navy. And as she stepped away from the corporate fashion world to focus on her young daughter's living, it was in that pause that she incepted this brand that continues to throw and thrive. So I'm excited to have this conversation with her. And Stacey, thank you so much for being with us. I feel like I gave the highest level introduction to who you are. So why don't we start by you telling the audience a little bit more about your professional background and the launch of Pink Chicken.
Thank you so much, first of all, Melissa, for having me. I'm super excited to be here and give you a little insight into Pink Chicken. So we will be celebrating 20 years next year. So it has been kind of a lifelong, feels like lifelong, 19 years building and growing it, but it's definitely been a passion. And I started my career moved to New York straight out of college. And my first job was at Ralph Lauren. And that was really an amazing first place to start. Then I went to launch infant and toddler collections at Tommy Hilfiger, then their kids line, and then ended my career back at Tommy Hilfiger. Tommy Hilfiger, then Old Navy, running their women's design. And then when I had my second daughter, I realized, okay, I can't work these hours anymore. I mean, that was back in the day. I don't know, 20 years ago when we were working like 60 hours a week and we were on a plane every other week. And I just thought, I need to be more present for my family. And so I took a year off and then realized I really needed to get back to my creative passions. And that's when Pink Chicken was started.
Well, that's a perfect segue because you often say that Pink Chicken was born during nap times.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. And I think what you talk about is really relevant. I don't know if you've read the book out there, The Power of the Pause. You should read it. And it is.
I haven't. I will write that down.
Yes, it's a plug for it. But it talks about in those pauses when women kind of take a time out when they become a mom or a second mom, these new ideas come up. That's why there's power in that. So tell us a little bit about what happened during nap time.
I love that. Yeah. So I had been collecting vintage textiles over the years, and I just had like stacks and stacks of fabrics. And when my girls were napping, I was started to play. I've always been sewed and made things. I used to make banquet dresses for my sorority sisters in college and in high school, prom dresses. And so I've always been handy behind the sewing machine. And that comes kind of back to my grandparents. And one of my grandmothers was a seamstress and had her own wedding dress, bridesmaid's dress collection in New York. And so I would go visit her and she would be sewing all the time. My other grandmother had retail stores, and through that experience, that's a little bit of background into why I began sewing at a young age. So then I just started making them dresses. And it wasn't really like I was setting out to create a business. I just was kind of feeling my creative passion while I had that pause on my corporate life. And in those moments and making them clothes, I have two girls. So obviously, you know, the dresses were what we started with. And I would get stopped. So it was like we would be walking on the street and people would be like, oh my God, where did you get those dresses? Or, you know, and I'd be like, wait, oh, maybe there's something to this. And that's when the light bulb went off. Like, could I make a business out of this? I wasn't really willing to compromise my work-life balance and going back to corporate, and had a little feedback from people just kind of throughout the day on the things that I was creating for my kids. And so that's when I thought, like, maybe there's a business here.
That's a good validation when you have outside people validating it for you. So that's kind of step one. The layer on that, so early age immersion and kind of seeing the art of it, getting that validation, but also coming from a corporate world.
Right.
What were some of the lessons that you were able to pull forward from your corporate life as you started to build this business?
Well, I was lucky that I kind of were in these larger corporations, but in smaller emerging divisions. So when I left Ralph Lauren, I went to The Gap. It's when they first started Baby Gap. So I know I'm aging myself, but that was like, there were three of us on that team and I was one of the first members to create Baby Gap. So there's a lot of entrepreneurial scrappy things that you do when you're building a brand, even though you're in a larger organization. And the same with Tommy Hilfiger. When I went there, I was also in a smaller division where we were launching their infant and toddler division. So at that time, I was responsible for getting the labels, you know, all the bits and pieces that go into it. So I did learn a lot about just the basics of labeling, productions, all of those kinds of things. And then also, like, when you have a bigger organization and these are the pillars of what the company stands for, you kind of live and die by those pillars. And so at Pink Chicken, that's what we do. We are who we are, and everything we do goes through the filters of, is it happy? Is it colorful? Is it comfortable? Is it fun? Does it evoke a nostalgia? Like, those are our pillars. And that's one thing I definitely learned from coming from those organizations.
Well, it's so important. It's so easy to stray and forget kind of who you are. And in the early stages, it's so critical because you don't want to have any of that confusion and how do you stand out. So you said what you arrived at, but as you carved out that very specific white space of premium, joyful, you know, how did you recognize there was a gap in that? And, you know, what did you do to validate that that was going to be your path forward?
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, it happened. A lot of brands or businesses start because you find you do see a white space in the market. And at the time, you know, it was either you bought like Disney clothes or like kind of branded clothes or like very basic clothes, or it was like kind of the smocked dresses and very uptight, like maybe a little uncomfortable dresses. And there wasn't really anything there that had print and pattern and color that, you know, and always, like, I think what we try to do is have a foot back in the past. So you'll see patterns and stuff, have a vintage inspiration. So I really feel like clothes can be joyful. And I, you know, we set out to make getting dressed joyful for kids and their moms. And that didn't exist at the time. So I thought, this is something people really wanted. And very early on, we saw validation in the market. So the first three dresses I made for my kids, I put them in this homemade garment bag that I did out of a pillowcase, and I brought them to a store in New York called Scoop at the time.
I remember Scoop.
Yeah. So somebody knew Stephanie Greenfeld, I believe. And I came and I showed her the three dresses that I had designed, and she put an order in on the spot.
Amazing.
And so I was like, okay, we're going to do something here. It's exciting.
For sure. When Scoop was around, it was like the place.
Yes.
So it was a good validation for sure, especially early on in your company's trajectory. Let's talk about vertical integration, operational rigor. So you're vertically integrated, which is a huge example. I mean, advantage in a category that a lot of times is so reliant on wholesale only models by licensing. So what has having that integration unlocked for you?
We do have a wholesale side of our business. So we sell our collection also wholesale. But for our retail stores, it's just important that we are able to create like the world of Pink Chicken. So everything in our store that you touch, that you put on your body, is Pink Chicken. So it's about color and sunshine and joyfulness. And so I think that when you have the ability to kind of affect the aesthetic of the design, but then also the quality of the design, and that's a huge part of what's very important to us, is having really thoughtful craftsmanship in everything that we do. And obviously, when you're making it yourself, you have you can control that much better.
Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about, you know, how does this show up when it's your own brand experience?
You mean when you come into the store or?
Yeah. Right. I think there's different, of course, there's different opportunities when you are wholesale and you have that distribution partner. And I'm sure you have a filter of who you partner with in that aspect, but then you have your brand owned experience. How do you bring Pink Chicken to life?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've just in the last 18 months, we doubled our store footprint. So we went from 5 to 11. So it's been a very busy couple of years, I guess, almost. But, you know, for us, it's like we designed our Indian block print wallpaper. So every store has our custom wallpaper in it. You really get the feeling of the layering of colors and patterns. So we also have vintage Moroccan rugs. And people always ask where we get them. I spend hours and hours on Etsy sourcing mm-hmm. these rugs. And so I think that we try to make it just feel warm and welcoming with the textiles, so the rugs and the patterns and the wallpapers. But it's really meant to be a place where kids can come in. You know, I remember going into a kid's store once and my daughter was like touching something and the salesperson says, "Oh, don't touch that." I'm like, this is a children's store.
Yeah, you're here to touch things.
Yeah, you're here. So we really make it. We put things at the level that they can touch them and play with things. And we have a book nook where you can go sit down and read a story. And so we just really try to make it like aesthetically pleasing from a color and textile standpoint, but also like that you feel warm and welcoming when you're in our stores, and both for moms and kids can have fun, a fun shopping experience.
Yeah, I think that's a really important balance to maintain, especially in today's day and age. I feel like even more so than past generations, how much the children is the influencer
mm-hmm.
and the educator. Yeah. So, you know, being able to appeal to both. You talked about how you do it through materiality and, you know, bringing in the wallpaper and the different textiles. You know, how do you do it also when you think about like messaging and product development?
You know, I think that when we design with the child in mind, but also the mom, because she's the one actually buying it. And I think that we've struck a chord of being able to appeal to both, because when you are in our stores and you see the little girls that, you know, you talk about them being decision makers, well, they are. And I feel like if you have a strong headed little girl, she knows what she wants, but they will flip through our racks and ooh and ah over the prints, and they look for the chickens all the time. And so I think that it's like a balance of being sophisticated with our pattern and coloring, but still playful enough that it kind of brings nostalgia back for the mom, maybe when she was that age. And then the child really just like can connect to like the color and the fun of it. So, and then, you know, we do have a balance of things that we do, these metallic lamé dresses that, you know, wouldn't necessarily be the sophisticated as the rest of our collection, but we know that they love it, and we try to choose colors that feel a little more sophisticated than you would find someplace else.
Well, you span from dressing from the everyday to the occasion, and then, you know, you talk a little bit about how that keeps you immersed in the community as well. So can you talk a little bit about that?
It is one of our biggest privileges to be involved in family photos, family gatherings. People really spend a lot of time in thinking about the connectivity of clothes. And we do a lot of mommy and me. And it's meaningful, I think, to moms to match their children and being a part of that. And, you know, you mentioned...
Well, they let us, right? When my daughter was getting to that age, she doesn't let me anymore as much. But when she was younger, I loved to do it.
Yeah, it's so much fun. And there's a connection with that. It's fun. And it's... So being a part of that, we are... You mentioned we do a lot of holidays. And so, being a part of special memories is really incredible. At the same time, we have people who buy our dresses for special occasions, birthdays, first days of school, all of those. And then we have little girls that will wear the dressy. We don't have so dressy, but they don't care. They will wear the dress upside down on the monkey bars. And, you know, and it's, that's amazing. I remember once I was in Amagansett, and that's where we, in the Hamptons, where we started the line, and I was at the beach, and at the beach stand, it was probably like 85 degrees. There was a little girl waiting with her mom in line for the beach hut, and she had on one of our long sleeve LeMay dresses. So I don't know if you know LeMay, it doesn't really breathe. And I thought she must be so hot, but it did, you know, she didn't care. She wanted to wear her shiny dress. And like, that was like such a joyful sight to me to see, you know, the little girl kind of wearing what she wanted and like loving our dress so much that she wore it to a very hot beach day.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when they have decided what they're going to wear, they're going to wear it for sure.
Yeah.
You also, have a big give back initiative, right? To support mothers and families. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's always been a part of who we are as a company. And, you know, it started off that we would donate excess inventory. We've been working with organizations like Good Plus Foundation and Baby to Baby for numerous years, along with local organizations, and giving back from an excess apparel. That was always something that we did rather than try to sell it off price. So being able to offer everyone, like spread a little joy to families that need it, was amazing. Our most recent initiative that I was really so proud to, and you talk about being vertical, and this is an example of how we were able to, after the wildfires in Los Angeles in January of this year, we were able to quickly design. We designed a really fireman print very quickly and put it through our production channels and sold it to our customers, where 100% of the proceeds went to support the families affected by the wildfires. And we were able, through our community, to raise over $50,000. And amazing. That for us was a really amazing, we'd never been able to donate such a large amount. I think that we also turned our stores into donation centers, so families could come in and pick up bags of clothes and underwear, socks, the basics that they needed right after those first few weeks when it was so devastating.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's great that you were able to kind of dive in and do that. I'm going to pivot back to the Alpha.
Yeah.
I have this vision of her, you know, on the monkey bars, like you said.
Yeah.
And we also talked about just their influence as a generation and identity and autonomy. I think that they're one of the most aesthetically aware generations we've seen. Like,
yes,
they know the trends, they know all the brands, they're on YouTube, they're jumping into Pinterest, they're educating the parents. So how do you see, like, how is this showing up, and are you, you know, what are your thoughts on Gen Alpha and kind of even just the co-creation opportunities at Pink Chicken?
We go up to size 12, but I would say our customer is a little bit younger, so she's not quite on social media. And but I agree with you. I mean, they're it's definitely the generation that's you know, so much more aware than, you know, we used to, like, not know anything until we picked up a Vogue at the newsstand. You know, it's very right. different today. But I think the thing about our clothes that resonate with people is we don't follow trends. Like, we're not trying to capture trends. We're trying to just do, like, beautiful clothes that transcend trends, yeah. kind of, but that have, like, have the vintage flair, but that are modernly relevant. But I will say, one of the things that we did recently when Taylor Swift launched her Eras tour, we designed, like, a little friendship bracelet print. And I would say it was probably one of our best selling prints last year. So we do try to make those moments, and we do it in our Pink Chicken way. And
Yeah, I think that there's always such an opportunity to grow either through partnership or some culturally relevant collaborations while staying authentic. And I think this younger generation, I mean, this is the first year of the beta, which my Gen Alpha told me at New Year's the betas are being born. So they're all aware of this as well, you know. But I do think that they have this strong sense of personal style earlier than ever.
Yes.
As well, you know. So what do you see that as, like, a founder and the opportunity to see your customer. There's the parent, but then there's the child who's wearing the clothes, who's becoming hyper aware of their self-expression. How do you think about that when you're designing?
Yeah, I mean, I think we try to design things that can mix or match. And so also we have like prints, and we're mostly print driven. So we have prints that are a little more subtle, and we have prints that are a little more like this print is a little less subtle. And so giving them the option to kind of play around, we do a lot of layering. We have gold and silver metallic leggings. We also have solid leggings. We have faux fur coats. And then we have real classic coats. And so giving them a place to come and play around, like nothing's more amazing than being in the store and seeing a little girl with, you know, like a pink dress, but then she's got a gold legging. And then like the way that they mix and match, it's just, you know, and if the mom is just like, that's amazing. It's always like so nice to encourage, let them have their self-expression. And we try to give them enough of a collection that they can mix and match how they feel best and how they express themselves. And we always hear often, you know, from our customers that their kids feel confident in Pink Chicken. And that is the biggest compliment. It feels, I have goosebumps now, even just saying it. It's being able to give confidence to a young girl is pretty amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's their entry into understanding the power of clothes, like the way you dress, the way what it can evoke, how you feel, confident, whatever you want it to be. That's great. So what, before we go into rapid fire questions, like what are you excited about? Like as you think of the next 2 years, the next 5 years, what are some of the things that keep you up in a good way that you're really excited about when you think of the brand?
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, just welcoming more people into our flock. You know, these store openings that we've had, you know, the five in the last couple of years have been, it's just so amazing and touching. I go to everyone. I don't just show up at the end. I show up at the week. We unpack the boxes, blood, sweat, and tears. We have these amazing parties that we call flock parties, where we use all local, local artists, local florists, local catering, and we welcome the community in, and we have these amazing parties. And I just think that people are tired of being attached to our phones, and people are really wanting more community. And we really look at our stores as community hubs and ways to connect more deeply with our customers and service our communities. And so opening more retail stores, that's definitely what we're excited about. We have some exciting brand collaborations coming next year that will be very soon that we're excited to talk about. And then just continuing what we're doing, just kind of getting in front of more people and spreading some sunshine, more sunshine.
I love it. I want to be in your office, you know.
I know.
And this filter you created and the vocabulary that you use and all of it's on brand, you know, with the joy and the sunshine and the flock. And did we say this? Why is the brand called Pink Chicken?
Oh, you didn't ask me. Yeah. Well, it's what my daughter used to call chicken in our house when she was little. So it was just like, what's for dinner? Is pink chicken for dinner? And so we've said it for years, and we were trying to come up with a name, that kind of was something familiar and meant something to our family. So
I love that. I love that. I want to try a pink chicken. Okay. We're going to go to a couple rapid fire questions before we wrap up, just so people get to know you a little bit on a personal level. What's the one print or color you'll never get tired of designing with, and why?
I would say the Indian block prints. It's kind of the root of what we're doing. We've worked with the same artisans in India for the last 15 years, and they're truly masters at this process. They carve prints out of wooden blocks, and that's how they print the fabric. And there's just something so beautiful in that art. So I will always be a part of what we're doing.
Very cool. Well, because you know I love Gen Alpha, but if Gen Alpha could officially vote on one new Pink Chicken product category, what do you think they would demand first?
Oh, gosh. Bedding, maybe. I think like home is an interesting area that we've dabbled in before. We have some exciting things on that front coming in February.
I love that. I think that that's a perfect extension. They can really like just sleep in the brand. So I think that's
and they, And like you said, they care about, they know these things early on. They care about what their room looks like. They, you know, they want to feel good inside their home and outside their home.
Well, A, it's another form of their own self-expression where they have the first, that's their first area of growth, right? They're not allowed on their own yet. So they can express it at the house. And then they all have been born on Roblox. So
I don't even know what Roblox, what is
Roblox. Oh my gosh. That's amazing. You don't. So they're all building houses and interiors and stuff all the time. So I think that's why a lot of them are hyper aware as well. Like, what do they want their room to look like? What do they want their house to look like?
Yes.
So it's pretty interesting. Okay. Third and last rapid fire, because you are a lover of vintage. If we were on a vintage store hunt, what's your go-to item that you always hope to find?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, I definitely do a lot of vintage shopping, and I love to find, I'm always on the lookout for an old Levi's, pair of Levi's or an old Levi's denim jacket or Lee or Wrangler. And also definitely like a vintage print. Like I'm like not afraid of a muumuu. I love like a loud printed floral muumuu.
I love that. Embrace the print for sure.
Yeah.
Well, this was so fun. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today. I think it's been an interesting conversation to talk through, you know, that childhood experience that you had that really shaped your interest, how you've been able to leverage the corporate world and the learnings from that, and then how you've been able to bring that plus the pause you took to really launch back when you did this brand. And it's going to be exciting to see how it continues to grow and evolve in the years to come. And I agree with you so much about this yearning for disconnection. I think 2026 is going to be a year we really start to see people in it lean into that. Even like what you saw with the tin can phones that have started to come out and parents agreeing and collaborating, we're all going to join on this mission. So I think that's hopeful. And I think that stores, especially the younger generation, being this point of this hub for community is going to be so relevant. So thank you for sharing all of your insights.
Thank you, Melissa. I thank you so much for having me. It's been really fun to talk to you.
Yeah. Yes, you too. So again, everybody, this is Stacey Frazier, founder and CEO of Pink Chicken. Thank you so much for spending the time with us again today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Melissa.